Welcome to the Love and Respect Podcast, a conversation that changes the way you view all relationships, whether married, single, parent, or professional. Discover the relationship secret hidden in plain sight. And now the intersection of theology and psychology. Conversations between pastor
and psychologist.
They are father and son. Your hosts, Emerson and Jonathan Egerich.
Are you ready?
Here we go.
Welcome to the Love and Respect Podcast. I'm Jonathan Egerich, joined here by my father, Emerson Egerich, and this is episode 92 of the podcast. This one is titled, Why Do Good-Willed Wives Feel Frustrated? And this is the kind of flip side of the episode we did last week, episode 91, which was titled, Why Do Good-Willed Husbands Feel Frustrated? So we've done a few of these recently. We've kind of gone back and forth between husbands and wives and taking the different perspectives. So if you didn't get a chance to check out episode 91 or any of the previous episodes, you can do that at loveandrespectpodcast.com. You can do that through iTunes, Stitcher, our other podcast apps, etc. But we also have an app that's available on all mobile devices. You can download that inside of your respective app store. So we appreciate you guys doing that. Again, always grateful for the iTunes reviews, the thumbs up, or hitting the heart button on loveandrespectpodcast.com after listening to an episode. Helps gain traction. And then I think when people arrive at the site or iTunes, et cetera, and they see people's positive response to it, it piques their curiosity. And we believe the content is good, but those things certainly help in doing that. I know that when I go looking for podcast episodes or content that I'm interested in, whether on Amazon or other places, when I see people's reviews and ratings, it helps me make a decision. So we're grateful to those of you who do that. But as we jump into episode 92 today, Dad, I'll turn it over to you and you bring me in as needed. And obviously, as always, I'll respond with questions that I have.
Well, as you know, over the last 15 years, I've received tens of thousands of emails. I've had people say to me, boy, nobody writes them in their area of service like people tend to write me. And I don't know all the reasons for that, but I am honored by every email that comes. And there are many things. Yeah, and when we think of wives, that hurt them, that frustrate them. And there's a type of female who emails me, and this is a refrain that I hear in emails again and again and again, and it goes something like this. I must stuff my feelings, keep my mouth shut, and do as he says. In fact, Jonathan, would you read what one woman wrote? This would be the kind of email that I'll receive.
My husband and I attended your seminar. We both got a lot out of it, but my husband seems to have heard something else different than me. He thinks that you said that as head of the household, he calls the shots. He says that if I don't obey his requests, our relationship will pay the cost. Basically, I must do as he says in everything. Things have been really bad since the seminar. He feels I don't respect him when I don't do as I'm told by him.
Mm-hmm. There it is. And I hear these women tenderly express these things. And we're going to address this. We last time looked at husbands who are good-willed men who are just frustrated to no end because they get themselves into these situations where they can't win for lose and men are just pulling their hair out. And if you haven't listened to that podcast, please do. Today, we want to talk about the women who are pulling their hair out. And both of these are not designed to use as a club. And this is what we're always up against. As we reveal truth, you know, it's so easy to take this information and use it against your spouse. Last week's information could be used by a husband to really just, you know, pull out both, you know, revolvers and unload 12 shells emotionally into her heart and say, see, this is what I've been telling you. That doesn't do any good. Nor today. If you're a woman hearing this, I want you to know we understand this. This is a preliminary kind of presentation to at least know that, hey, we understand, and to help a man understand what's going on here, because we're going to take the position that many men, you know, are good-willed guys who are wanting to be honorable, and yet they end up just absolutely frustrating their wives. But now, having said this, even though I introduced with this email that you just read of this woman saying, I've got to keep my mouth shut, stuff my feelings, and do as he says, I have to say that there are women out there who can overreact. It's really not as bad as she is saying. You know, a wife can feel oppressed by a man that she thinks bullies her, But in fact, the guy doesn't bully her. She's exaggerating. She grabs the most negative soundbite from a longer, caring conversation with him. She latches on to one sentence, and she ignores the chapter. We might say it metaphorically like that. She misrepresents his pervasive and his loving feelings. You know, for example, a husband exclaims, "Oh, by the way, I don't want you to drive on the ice tonight, and that's final. I told my mom the same thing about her not driving to church this evening." So the husband expresses this out of his fear that she and his mom could be hurt in an accident. So he puts his foot down out of a desire to protect them. Yes, he could have said, you know, "Hey, this is my fear. It's my issue. It's more a reflection on me than it is on your driving. But hey, okay, just, you know, indulge me here." But the fact is, his protective instinct kicks in, and he's full of goodwill, and he's concerned for her safety. However, this lady does not state the specifics when she relays this information. She goes on Facebook and says, "There are moments when he forces me to be silent on things he wants. It's just not up for discussion. It's his way or the highway, and that's final. I have to stuff my feelings, keep my mouth shut, and do as he says." Now, those reading this wife's words would conclude her husband would have joined the Gestapo had he lived in Germany in the 1930s. You know, I have to say, some women are artists at generalizing, at profiling, at condemning from just one passing comment. I don't doubt that this is how some wives truly feel at that moment. And there can be a history here. I'm not going to completely blast her away. But their feelings cannot justify their accusations. That's comparable to saying, "Because Einstein made 23 major mistakes," and that's true, there's a book written called The 23 Major Mistakes of Einstein, to say, "Because Einstein made 23 major mistakes in his calculations over the years, then Einstein couldn't do math." Generalizing from the particular can totally misinterpret and totally misrepresent a person. And some wives do this with their husbands, and they do it quite well, and I see it on Facebook. They never give the specifics. They just go global. Now, having said that, now I want to go back over the fact that there are, in fact, bully husbands. And my own father, with his rage issues, the pain that I have, the woundedness, my own mother separating for 6 years, we want to talk about the bully husband for a moment. And Jonathan, would you read what I said there about the bully husband?
"However, there are despotic husbands roaring commands at their good-willed wives. The excessive and unloving decrees leave these women feeling hurt, frustrated, confused, and worthless. These husbands act like a slave master. Anyone who observes what takes place in the home would say the husband refuses to act in obedience to Ephesians 5:33, which commands the husband to love his wife. He flat out ignores God's command to him, while commanding his wife to respect him, which God tells the wife to do in Ephesians 5:33. When this husband feels disrespected, he bullies his wife into submission. The chronic bully blames her to justify himself, intimidates her by his fits of anger, rules her as a dictator, threatens to divorce her, punishes her by emotionally withdrawing, invalidates her opinion, deprives her of money, and terrorizes her with brute force. These are bully tactics. Some men rise up like a grizzly bear on hind legs to create fear in the wife and silence her into submission. Or, like a charging ape in the jungle, he beats his chest to intimidate her so she'll back away."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is a real challenge. And what I just said there, as you said it so well, is that there are several tactics, and we're going to look at several of these. There are eight in this blog that you can eventually read that you kind of hit, you know, the whole self-justification, the angry intimidation, the dictatorial rulership, the, you know, the divorce threatener, the withdrawing punisher, the, you know, opinion invalidator, the money depriver, and the brute terrorizer. These are some of the categories that, you know, I have formed from the emails that women have sent. And when a bully husband recognizes, and this is what's interesting, women have these vulnerabilities. They have a vulnerability because there is a softness. She's not a hairy, you know, she doesn't have a beard. There is the skin of the female so soft, it's symbolic of her softness. And men love that softness. And there is a sensitivity. That's that nurturing nature. Well, that softness and that sensitivity creates a vulnerability. And there's some men who quickly figure this out, and they ride roughshod. They ride roughshod over her because he can victimize her. He really can control her emotionally. And he ends up blocking out the truth of Ephesians 5:33, where God commands him to put on love, whether she's lovable or respectful. And he chooses to just blind himself to that. And the root of this really is the insecurity and the fear in the male. And I want to just say up front to the man who's in the situation, you're not really the bully that you appear. It's rooted in insecurity. I see it again and again, and fear. Insecurity and fear. And your overreaction is killing your wife. You're browbeating her. You're heavy-handed as a way to protect you from your own insecurities and your own fears, because she comes at you, and she comes at you in ways that feel disrespectful. I'm not going to discount that, but the way in which you're dealing with it is overkill. It's kind of like, you know, the shotgun, you know, is used to kill the fly on the kitchen table. Well, you got the fly, you know, but you blew your table apart. Plus, the neighbors are all wondering what in the world's going on here. And some men explode, you know, to deal with the fly in the relationship. But Jonathan, read the good news.
What I am about to share can positively change the course of a husband's life. He need not let his insecurity and fear enslave him to bully tactics. I believe in his deepest heart he longs to be an honorable man who deals differently with what feels like disrespect coming at him from his wife. From God's vantage point, he has ended up acting in dishonorable and unloving ways and doesn't see it until now. The good news here is that a husband can make adjustments that better demonstrate that he is an honorable man who loves God and intends to love his wife because he loves God. In seeing himself in a few of the following categories, he will change course. Honorable men redirect themselves once they realize the extent to which their fear of disrespect outwitted them into reacting in unloving ways, and their insecurity tricked them to react with folly. Long term, the bully is unloving and foolish, and the man of honor sees this and heads a different direction. So what does a bully look like so the honorable man can avoid these behaviors?
Okay. So let's take a look then at several. The self-justifying blamer. The self-justifying blamer. The first sin, did you know, that Adam committed in the Garden of Eden after he and Eve ate the forbidden fruit was to blame God and Eve. And in so doing, he was justifying himself. We read in Genesis 3:12, the man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree, and I ate." I often say, wow, Adam only knew two beings at this time, God and the woman, right? And in one sentence, he blames them both. The woman you gave me, made me to eat. And I don't know about you men listening, but I can tell you there is something in my nature towards Sarah. I have this sin nature, we call it. There's a proclivity to vindicate myself and assign fault to Sarah. As water runs downhill, not uphill because of gravity, my sinful nature pulls me downward into the mud of self-defense and blame placing. I mean, the sinful thoughts go there first. I'm quick at doing this. It's easy for me to do this without much effort. It's effortless. I can come up with a retort that gets me off the hook and puts Sarah on the hook in nanoseconds. And I don't know if you're like me, but you know, I've got to resist this penchant because it just loses Sarah's heart, and you're going to lose your wife's heart. Jonathan, read the frustration of several wives who wrote us on this point.
My husband blames me for everything in our marriage, and after a year, he still points the finger at me without seeing his side. Another wrote, "My husband has a temper problem, which he does not see as a problem because he believes that I can cause the anger. Sometimes I do with lack of respect, but many times his anger is out of his own frustration with life. It is very hard to show unconditional respect when he just blames me for all his hardships and actually thinks I am purposely trying to hurt him. He thinks I am evil." Another one wrote, "When he's upset or mad, he yells at me. He takes all his anger out on me, and that makes him feel better, but that really hurts me. Everything that happens in his life is my fault. I guess my question is, how do I stay calm and calm him down? This morning we got into a really big fight. I feel just worthless and hurt inside. He thinks if he doesn't physically hit me, then I don't hurt. In his words, feelings don't count." And finally, one wrote, Last night, he told me that he wanted to share some things with me and then proceeded to read 5 pages, typed, that he'd written about how he'd been hurt in our marriage. It was extremely painful for me to hear. Right now, he blames me for a lot and only acknowledges that he sometimes reacted negatively to me.
Mm-hmm. I hear this again and again and again. And I think every man listening needs to understand that there's something in us as males that is like Adam. I mean, we can immediately, in one sentence, justify ourselves and place the blame on our wives. I mean, an analogy I give, it's as easy for me to do this as eating grandma's apple pie smothered with vanilla ice cream. I mean, it's just no problem for me to just jump into that bowl and start, you know, sucking away at that pie and ice cream. I mean, it's just natural. At the same time, it is as easy for me to crush the heart of Sarah as it is to smash a sandcastle on a sunny day at the beach. I mean, she has this vulnerability. And the solution for the honorable man is to determine to be as honest as he can with himself about the facts. Just the facts, ma'am. Remember Friday, I guess, in the detective story. Just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts. And during squabbles, I don't know about you, gentlemen, but there's a tendency to use those facts in my favor and conveniently just ignore the ones that put me in an unfavorable light. But that's why I've got to make a commitment as an honorable man to keep things fair and balanced. And I need to ask myself during this conversation, I don't want to, but I need to confess my guilt and I need to be able to defend Sarah's goodwill. So it's very easy for me to say that she's doing it wrong, and it's very easy for me to say I'm doing it right. That, I don't have a problem with that. Where I have a problem is confessing where I'm doing it wrong and acknowledging where she's doing right. And if we commit as honorable men to do this, we will not be the self-justifying blamer who's nothing more than a bully. But there's a second. There are 8 of them, but here's the second one, the angry intimidator. The angry intimidator. Repeatedly, wives tell me of the intimidation and the fear that they feel when their husbands display anger. And this is not just a miffed look, but it's a glare that can scare. These women say the only safe recourse is to go silent and not do anything to set him off. Jonathan, read this wife here and several others as you go down through what I wrote.
One wife writes, "The problem is that he is so different in our home, in our relationship, than he is in public. I'm sure that other women look at our marriage, think that I'm very fortunate to have such a wonderful husband, as he is charming in public. At home, however, his anger always seems to be simmering just beneath the surface, and I never know what is going to set it off. It's like living in a minefield. He has never been physically abusive, but the 2 friends and the counselor whom I've confided this to say that he is verbally abusive."
Mm-hmm.
Another one writes, "My husband has struggled with anger issues and was in counseling for this. His anger is now to a level that somewhat scares me. He went off in a restaurant this past week because a waiter didn't apologize to my daughter for stepping in front of her and giving her a rude look. He told us to leave the restaurant and the girls, and I kept asking him to calm down. We begged him to stop so we could have a nice day together. He stormed out of the restaurant and was furious that we did not follow. He said that showed total disrespect on our part."
Mm-hmm. Such angry husbands intimidate. They just overwhelm the wife. And one wife said, "After years of criticism, scoldings, belittling, controlling, and explosive anger, I have shut down. I don't know how or what to say to communicate with my husband without sparking his anger, so I stay quiet." And this was true of my mom, you know, my dad. I mean, dad would have these rage moments, we just didn't know how to deal with it. I mean, so mom separated for 6 years. I mean, it was just something that she could not live with. She did not remarry anyone else. I mean, she wanted to stay married to dad, but the anger and rage just simply, you know, was impossible to deal with at moments. And so I come out of that environment. Jonathan, read the confession of one man about himself there.
He wrote, "I am the son of an alcoholic who was constantly angry with the entire family, who used the tactics of intimidation and manipulation to get what he wanted, whose words were laced with profanity, and who occasionally cursed at his children. Needless to say, the model I received for marriage and parenting was anything but positive and helpful. Surprisingly, even after observing the devastation of my father's behavior in our home, early in life I was headed down the same road of destruction."
Mm-hmm. And Jonathan, I'm sure as a clinical psychologist, you've seen what this woman says next.
She wrote, "The anger and hurt that I receive from him any time I disagree or do something he doesn't like seems very excessive for the situation. Pretty much since we've married, I've tried very hard to not set him off and to learn more effective ways to interact with him. I walk on eggshells a lot."
Mm-hmm. Quite often, these women, you know, feel responsible somehow not to set him off, that they're to blame for this. And he will certainly be quick to point out that he wouldn't have got angry had she not done X, Y, Z. I mean, this is the angry bully, and he'll get what he wants by subduing his wife into submission and then making her feel she's to blame. Again, we're back to the Adamic nature, it's called. Of course, one day this husband awakes to the fact that he closed off his wife's spirit and lost her heart. And for those of us who are Christ followers, he'll be standing before the Lord, and the Lord will say to him, "She did not cause you to be angry, but revealed your embittered soul. She revealed your decision to obey my command to love her." And this is why I think Paul said what he said in Colossians to husbands. Husbands,
"She revealed your decision to disobey my command to love her."
Yes, okay. Thank you for catching that. I didn't even hear myself. And this is why Colossians 3 says, "Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them." There it is. Love your wives and do not be embittered against them. In other words, whatever it is that she's doing that makes you mad, it isn't what you think. At the end of the day, she's crying out for your love. But this third one, the dictatorial ruler. The dictatorial ruler yells out ultimatums. He has the final say. His word must be obeyed. It's not up for discussion or debate. There's no negotiation. There are no arguments with him. He's in charge as the leader. And of course, he denies that he is some kind of tyrant. He is just a very good decision maker, and his wife needs to do what he decides. Jonathan, read what this woman wrote to me.
She wrote, "I am so exhausted, I'm not sure how to tackle our problems anymore. We do fine until, of course, a conflict arises that we don't see eye to eye on. Last night we got home around 9 p.m. My daughter had gotten a karaoke machine for her birthday and wanted to play with it. She was trying to perfect a song. Next thing I know, he's screaming at her in his drill sergeant voice. I really despise the dictator way he goes about getting the results he wants. I just feel like he never takes the time to listen to the children or analyze the situation before he flies off. I try to explain this to him, but he just tells me I'm interfering. I should stand back."
Mm-hmm.
Another one wrote, "I try to be nice and friendly, but he needs total obedience and control or he flies off the handle at me. I have no opinion at all unless it's his. I am running out of hope." A third one wrote, "It was interesting that ever since he did read the Love and Respect book, it wasn't as if he was interested in showing me love, but more interested in demanding for everyone around him to show him respect, because after all, that is what he needs. I don't really think he knows what respect looks like. My take on it is that he looks like a dictatorship to him, and everyone around him is supposed to bow down and call him master, and I am not being sarcastic. So when things don't go quite that way, it sets him off, and off to the disrespect races we go."
Mm-hmm. What about this gal here, the frustration? You can just sense it.
She writes, "I know we are supposed to be submissive, but most women don't even know where to begin with this. At what point are you just going along with everything your husband says, making you feel as if you are under some dictatorship?"
Mm-hmm. And what's fascinating about her is that these women don't rebel against leadership. They rebel against lordship. A gal attests, "I do love the idea of a man being a man and being the head of the household. I would not want to take this away from him." This is that tenderness of females. "However, from day one, my husband has acted like a dictator, convinced he's doing the right thing and at any cost to the family. I am stifled and my children are stifled and we are unhappy. He will not listen to me or his children. He's just too controlling. And then he becomes unloving. Even when I become more respectful, the control does not change. He is still acting as the dictator. How do I convince him to reduce his control?" Again, these gals want a spiritual leader. This is not saying to the man, "I don't want you to be the leader." She knows, you know, there's going to be situations that are stalemated. They do not argue against what Ephesians 5:23 reveals about the headship of the husband. No wife is called to be the head of her husband. But instead, these women are resisting what Jesus resisted in Matthew 20:25 when he said the rulers lord it over them. It's not leadership, it's lordship that these women are just stifled by. Stuff your feelings, you know, shut your mouth and do as he says. And this is a killer. On the other hand, an honorable husband avoids squelching his wife and he willingly listens to understand. He encourages negotiation and he creates win-win as best he can. And where there is a stalemate, he might say, honey, I know that this doesn't seem right to you and I could be wrong, but somebody's got to make the decision here. And I just hope that you'll reserve the right to tell me that I'm wrong after the fact, that it proves that I was stupid on this one. But we've got to move forward, and I feel the responsibility of this. I'm not trying to ignore you. I hear clearly these four things you said. I mean, almost every woman I know will be very responsive to that, unless she thinks the kids are going to die. And then, you know, the mother hen kicks in. Well, we will begin to wrap this up, but there's the divorce threatener that we haven't talked about. There's the withdrawing punisher that is a common thing. I'll just go silent. I'll teach that woman to respect me. I'm just not even going to talk to her. I'll just disengage emotionally from her. There's the opinion invalidator. I mean, every time a woman voices her opinion, it's invalid. He's just, you know, he just puts her down. That's wrong. Doesn't even want to hear it. Some men, women say, will hold up their hands. He'll just hold up his hand like, quiet. I don't want to hear it. Shut up. All right. And so she just stuffs her feelings, keeps her mouth shut. The money depriver. He's one who just controls the purse strings and therefore, you know, controls the strings. I mean, he's pulling all the strings. And he makes more money, or he makes all the money, and he uses money as a way of just controlling her. And there are women who write me who are dying. They're just dying over this. And then you have the brute terrorizer, I call it. I mean, he will use physical threats. He will put his fist through the wall. He'll throw an ashtray. He will kick, you know, whatever. And she lives in fear that he's going to be violent with her. So these eight situations we are going to address, but as we wrap this up, I want to appeal to the honorable man who's following Christ and just say, you know, look, I think that this is rooted in your fears and insecurity that she's dissing you, and you're interpreting her coming at you in a way that just feels contemptuous, rude, disdainful, and so you're going to even the score. From your standpoint, you're evening the score, or at least you're trying to make it even. But I think you're misinterpreting her. It's just overkill. It's just way too much. And God calls you to love your wife, even if she's not lovable, even if she's not respectful. You don't have to become a bully because she fails to be who she's supposed to be. All of the things that we've described in this blog, and even some of the things we've referenced today, it's dropping a bomb on a flea. It's just way too much. And what you're going to do is close off her heart. She's just going to shut down on you. That's why I want to invite the husbands to think this through. You know, are you justifying yourself, for instance? Are you using anger? Are you, you know, refusing to negotiate and just dictating as a ruler? And there are all kinds of things, threatening divorce, as we've talked about. And we want you to consider, you know, how are you coming across? Now, she may be a Jezebel who lies, cheats, and steals. You know, she could be one who castigates you as wicked. I said up front that there are women who, you know, can really profile a man inappropriately. And that's why we wrote, Why Do Good-Willed Husbands Feel Frustrated? And we addressed that last time. But given though you know in your deepest heart that this woman has given herself to you, she wants to be at peace with you. She longs to be a family that enjoys each other. She wants everyone to be happy, including you. And she really has no strong selfish agenda, but speaks out of her nurturing bent, then I just want to say to you, it's time you take a hard look at yourself. She's not trying to deprive you. She's not trying to invalidate you. She's not trying to blame you. She's not trying to punish you. She's not trying to intimidate you. She's not trying to rule over you. She's not trying to threaten you. And she's not trying to terrorize you. This would be true of my mom, your grandmother. I mean, mom just didn't approach dad in this way. This wasn't in her spirit. But yet women begin to feel emotionally and verbally abused. And that's what they mean by being emotionally and verbally abused. And I would say she has tremendous vulnerabilities due to her womanly sensitivities. And your reactions can be overkill. That's why I want you to think of a 5-ton wrecking ball used to open the jammed gate to your backyard pool. Yes, the gate no longer impedes you're coming and going. But look around at the destruction. Though a pool gate that was jammed interfered with the direction you intended to go, a wrecking ball generates a whole lot of collateral damage. I dare say this could very well be you in your marriage. With your wife, you think you're using equal force to counter her resistance. Instead, you're severely damaging her heart. Your words and ways are comparable to a wrecking ball. But since your approach clears the way for you, it must be a good way to deal with this woman. But I think that most who watch you would say, he's a bully. He's a bully. Let me just pray, and then, Jonathan, I'll turn it back over to you.
Well, can I ask a question real quick?
Yeah, yeah, please.
Let's just assume, and we didn't go through all of them, that there are eight, you know, categories here, and a husband who maybe is engaging in some of these things isn't listening to this podcast episode, whether now or in the future, but a wife is, whether now or in the future, and she's wondering, well, you know, what do I do with this information now? How do I approach this, my husband, who's a self-justifying blamer, who's the angry intimidator, who's the dictatorial ruler? How do I approach him on this? Or how do I deal with this if I've examined myself, I've examined our marriage, and I believe that, yeah, maybe he does some of these things. What do I do? Because he shuts me down in all eight of these categories, right? Or a few of them.
Yes. No, excellent question. And that's the answer to those are coming. In fact, last week when we looked at the gentleman whose 16-year-old boy wanted to drive to school and the mother put her foot down, and we showed these glaring inconsistencies of the mother, do as I say, but not as I do. And just he wrote back and said, okay, that's exactly how I feel. What do I do on the other side of it? You were challenging women not to do these things, but I'm still the victim of this. What do I do? And I'm going to answer that in the days ahead. And so to your excellent question, because I know, and this is, I can't say everything at once, so I'm not going to address that, but we will take that one on, because that's the other side. And I want to say, those of you who are listening and you have that question, email us. Say, hey, what about this situation? Here's what I've tried to do. It hasn't worked. So I welcome that feedback. And we have so many of you who are part of our tribe, so to speak, and we're so grateful. Let me hear from you on that. Good question, Jonathan.
All right. Now I'll turn it back over to you to pray, and then we'll end.
Lord, you know our hearts. At the end of the day, we didn't marry each other because we said, I hate you and you hate me, so let's get hitched. It doesn't go down that way. And yet over the months and years, we get irritated at each other. We are reading in between the lines. We think he is trying to be unloving here. He's trying to treat me as a doormat, or she's trying to diss me and put me down, sees me as inadequate. And we're trying to equalize what we think is unfair treatment. But if we don't step back at moments like this, we don't realize the fact that we're killing a fly with a shotgun. It's just overkill. It's way beyond, and we don't see it because we don't see any change in the other person. They keep coming at us in the same way, and so we up the ante. And I pray for that gentleman who is a true man of honor, who would literally die for his wife if a murderer came into the house tonight and attempted to kill her. And Jesus Christ said, no greater love is a man than this, that he lay down his life for his friend. But Lord, may this man realize that literally he would die for this woman, but he's not made a decision to live for her. And I pray that today would be a wake-up call for him, that he would cease being a bully and take more time to engage her heart and realize that softness and sensitivity usually is extremely compliant and responsive and engaging, that she really does not want to be the ruler. She wants to work as a team moving forward in tandem. Through Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us this week. We'll see you next week. Take care.
You've been listening to the Love and Respect Podcast. For more information and additional products, go to loveandrespect.com and follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Join Emerson and Jonathan next week for another episode.